Service by telling the Lord we love Him. Amen. Let's sing this.
Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Like no other name I know. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. There's healing in the name of Jesus, like no other name I know. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Just bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Just bless that wonderful name of Jesus, like no one. Let's stand and sing it. Oh yes, there's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus, like no other name I know. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. Turn around and greet your neighbor this evening. Home.
singing. I've been shouting since I lay all my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing. I've been shouting since I lay all my burdens down. Well, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I lay. Aren't you thankful that she had a place you could take him and lay him down to? Amen. God bless you richly tonight. I want to just announce again, Lord willing, Brother Ron Lilly will be with us from April 26th through the 29th. He'll be speaking at the youth Bible study that Thursday, and then we'll be having a youth service here that Friday evening. Anybody's welcome to come, but it'll be focused towards the youth. That'll be at 7:30. And then he'll be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening of April the 29th. So we'll remember those services in prayer. And then Brother Gabe Bryant's son, Elias, that we had prayed for his hand on Sunday night, there was nothing broken. It's just swollen. So I want to praise the Lord for that. And Brother Layton also received his healing Sunday night. He'd been having pain in his shoulder and hip for about 3 weeks. And was able to sleep pain-free Sunday night for the first time in 3 weeks. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And I want to continue to remember Brother Trevor. He's still ministering in Ghana and was texting back and forth a little bit with me today. So he's doing well over there. But just want to continue to remember him for Traveling Mercies and the services there. And want to remember Brother Gabe Eplin. He's not feeling well this evening. And also a lady that Brother Gabe Bryant had ran into, asked that we remember her in prayer due to, I believe it was fluid around the heart, wasn't it, brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to find you there, but yeah, fluid around the heart. And it wound up being, he got to talking to her, and it wound up being the lady that cuts my hair's mother. So I've had a chance to meet her before. So it's interesting how God sends people by your path sometimes, but she had asked for prayer, and he got a chance, I think, to show her a little bit of the Chicago campaign video. So you never know what God's going to do. Amen. Want to please continue to remember Sister Patty Hansel's brother Dale. He's back in the hospital with pneumonia. And then my nephew Zachary, he's having frequent nosebleeds and busted blood vessels in his eyes. And the doctors think that's due to stress, and they're doing some additional testing tomorrow. So I want to remember that in prayer. And then Brother Isaac Weber asked that we please remember Amberlynn and Dwayne Weber in prayer. They have a bad cold, so I want to remember them in prayer. And Brother Layton's nephew, Brother Micah Strunk, is in intensive care with multiple major injuries due to an incident yesterday morning that involved a fall from his balcony. And he has some bleeding on the brain, broken ribs, and broken facial bones. And he was on a breathing tube, but I believe they're going to take the breathing tube out tomorrow. And the family's just requesting prayer for a full recovery. So we want to remember him in prayer, especially tonight. And then also Brother Barry Weber's nephew that we'd had a prayer for on Sunday evening, his name was Jonathan. He passed away, so we want to remember the Weber family in prayer during this time. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Jimmy, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
So grateful, Lord, that we can bring our petitions before you. Lord, there's many requests here tonight, Lord, but you can answer them all, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here, but Father, we love you, and where else will we go? Lord, we just ask that you would move upon each and every need that was requested here tonight. Touch the bodies of those that are sick and afflicted, Lord. Lord, comfort those that have lost loved ones, Lord. Raise them up, Lord. Take them into your bosom, Lord, and just Hold them close, Lord. Father, be with the remainder of the service here tonight, Lord. Be with each and every person here. Walk up and down the aisles of our hearts, Lord. Provide what we have need of, Lord. We're a needy people, Lord. And Lord, we ask it all in that lovely name of Jesus. Lord, there's nothing else. There's no healing except in the name of Jesus. There's no salvation except in the name of Jesus. Father, there's no redemption whatsoever without the lovely name of Jesus. Father, may we proclaim it in all we do, Lord. May we go out from this place, Lord, with our hearts raised up, Lord, encouraged and strengthened to go a little further in this life's journey, Lord. And Father, we'll give you the praise and honor for each and everything. And Father, may we glorify you in some way here tonight, Lord, and lift you up. For you, if you're lifted up, you'll draw all men nigh. So, Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers could please come at this time. Brother had asked if we sing this. This is 321 in your handbook. You know, sometimes you never know what the Lord has for you. But I definitely feel like tonight we have a smorgasbord of true living word, whether it be a tape or the preaching. It's nice to be able to come and feel like we're at a banqueting table and it's a feast. So it's good to be in church tonight.
Why am I beloved? He is mine. Banner over me is love. Oh, I am my beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. Oh, I am my beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love.
5 if you don't know it. Be glad you're a child of the King. Amen.
Once I was clothed in the wraps of my sin, I was wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and great love, He took me under. Stand. Oh, now I'm a child with a heavenly home, and my Holy Father, He has made me His own. Now I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm
thankful tonight that you're a child of the King.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's try this tonight. I don't know if you know it or not, but sister asked me to sing it some time ago, and I've been meaning to and just haven't got around to it. But if you know it, help me sing it. Lord, without you, I couldn't face each morning. Oh, and without you, I couldn't sleep in peace each night. Oh, Lord, without you, couldn't go on and on. by my side. Is that how you feel tonight? Oh, yes, Lord, you are everything to me. Oh, yes, Lord, you are everything to me. Without him. Oh Lord, just like a desert is in need of water. Lord, I was like a sailor in need of the sea. Oh Lord, just like a in need of an author. Oh Lord, Lord, that's how I need you always with me. Let's sing it to him tonight. We love you tonight, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, you are everything to me. Jesus, I love you more than anything. Oh, why don't we sing it again together? Just invite his presence tonight. Oh, yes, Lord, you. Lord, you are everything to me. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, you. Lord, you're everything to me. Everything we need, Lord. Jesus, I love you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, Lord, you are everything to me. Amen. Is that how you feel tonight? Amen. Let's just enter into a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, Lord, without you, where would we be, Father? Lord, there's no peace outside of you. There's no real true joy outside of you. There's no real true freedom outside of you, Father. Where would we be tonight, Father, if it hadn't been for you and your grace, Lord, stooping down to pick us up, Lord, wherever you found us? Lord, if it hadn't been for you looking down through eternity and by your providence and your predestination and foreknowledge, Lord, seeing where we would be and what we would need, Lord, where would we be tonight if it wasn't for you, Father? Lord, I don't even want to think about it, Father. Lord, the depths, Lord, that we would have stooped to if it hadn't been for you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love and your care for your little bride, Father. Lord, how that even through the trials, just knowing that you promised you'd never leave us or forsake us, Lord, I'd rather walk through any trial knowing that you were with me, Father, than to be sitting on what we would call easy street, Lord, without you, Father, without that presence, without that leading, without that guiding, without that anointing in our lives, Father, where would we be? We love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your presence that we already feel here tonight, Lord. And thank you for all that you're doing, for how that you're moving and working, Lord, among your people, Lord. When we begin to see testimonies and miracles go forth, Father, Lord, we recognize, Lord, that you're in our midst, for it takes you to do those things. We thank you for it tonight. Lord, we commit this service into your hands, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your glory. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in church on a Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Zechariah chapter 11 again this evening. Zechariah chapter 11. And want to read verses 15 and 16 and part of 17 again tonight. We began to look at this last week on the instruments of a foolish shepherd. And we want to pick that up again tonight with the help of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 15. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their clothes in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, we just thank you again, Lord, for your presence. And Lord, we know that the word that we've read is anointed, Father. But Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would anoint me. Lord, it's my unworthy human lips, Father. But Lord, we recognize that in your providence and in your design, Lord, you said in your word that through the foolishness of preaching that you would bring salvation. And Lord, we just ask that you would just move the human instrumentality out of the way again tonight, Father, Lord, and may you just come and anoint, Lord. We recognize that the word is anointed. We recognize that the message, Lord, that we'll read quotes from is anointed. But Father, may you anoint my lips, Lord. May you anoint not only the hearers, Lord, just their ears, but may you anoint our hearts to receive whatever you would impart to us tonight. Lord, we need strength again tonight. Lord, we gather together again, Lord, at this midweek service. And Lord, to gain strength from your word and to worship you and to give you praise, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for how you deal with us and how you bless us, Lord. We're so unworthy, but we're so thankful, Father. Lord, may you just take complete control tonight again, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Jesus speaks of a true shepherd in the Gospels, and he refers to how that a real true shepherd will watch the flock, but how a hireling, somebody that's not a real shepherd, that they don't have any real personal investment in the sheep, but somebody that's just been hired by a farmer or a rancher or a shepherd to watch the sheep, how that they'll run at the first sight of trouble. But there's something about a real true shepherd that he puts the sheep above his own interests, even, and he's concerned about the sheep. He watches over the sheep and watches for the sheep. And we find types of this in the Bible. We can see how that David there, when a lion and a bear ran in to get the sheep, he didn't say, you know, well, this was nice while it lasted, but my days as a shepherd are over, and exit stage right. But he stood right up against the enemy that was facing him with no regard to his own life. His thought was, what about the sheep? He had to protect the sheep. Now, he knew in his own ability he was probably no match for the lion or for the bear, but he definitely recognized that this little sheep here, defenseless, helpless, was incapable of defending itself against this great adversary. And so he picks up, well, all that he had there in his hand at the time, he picked up a little sling, a little slingshot and a stone. He begins to go after this lion and a bear. Now, if I was going to go hunting a bear, I'd find about the biggest caliber gun that I thought my shoulder could handle, Brother Jimmy, without it just tearing my shoulder off. And I'd be waiting out there if I was going to hunt a lion or a bear. But David, you know, he didn't have a big Remington rifle or something, but all that he had is this little stone and this little sling. But yet he knew that God was with him, and he knew as long as God was with him and God had called him and positioned him into a place that God would honor that, here he was in the line of duty, and he picks up the sling and the stone and he goes after the lion and goes after the bear. That's what many times, you know, as us as ministers do. Sometimes we have to sweat it out a little bit up here preaching and teaching things that maybe people don't understand. Why would you deal with that, and why would you go there, and why would you say things like that? that? Why would you read quotes like that or scriptures like that? It's because we recognize that many times when the enemy begins to come in at like a flood, as the Bible said he would, or like a roaring lion, that many times the sheep, they're standing there and they don't know what to do or where to go. And we are on our own are no match for these enemies that come in either in ourselves. But we have a little slingshot of faith, and we have a little stone of the word, that if we can equip you with a little bit of the word, then when these things come up against you, you can stand there and you recognize, now wait a minute, that's contrary to what I've heard, because the Bible said that the sheep, they know his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. And so he said, a stranger they won't follow. So when a stranger comes in and tries to bring something that's contrary to what the sheep has heard from the word, they say, now, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like the shepherd's voice. That doesn't act like the shepherd's voice. When somebody would try to run in and you know, stomp over somebody or abuse them with their authority or their position, or try to force them into something with their own legalism or own personal ideas, and that sheep can stand there, and if it's really been taught, say, now wait a minute, that's contrary to the shepherd's voice. The shepherd never treated me like that. The shepherd never acted like that. The Holy Spirit has never, you know, had that approach with me, or the word has never shown that plainly to me. Then you can stand there and recognize the difference between a true shepherd and a false shepherd. So that's what we're trying to equip you with. Well, I don't get up here and read quotes to beat somebody over the head with, or try to just have a little soapbox and form my own opinion and try to make a commotion or something like that. But I'm trying to equip you so that when people come to you and tell you, well, what about this? We don't believe this anymore. We don't think that this is for this day. We don't agree with this. We don't like this. We don't believe this. You can stand there and be equipped with, well, the shepherd said this over here in Matthew, and the shepherd said this through his prophet over here, and the shepherd said this back in Zechariah, and have a little bit of equipment to be able to face the enemy with when he comes in like a roaring lion. Now, sometimes the enemy will come in and he'll literally, maybe not, I don't think the devil's literally going to come, you know, beside you in a body form and deal with you. Most of us may never even deal with the devil directly ourselves, like the prophet of God and like the Lord Jesus did. Jesus that went out right there and was toe to toe with him in the wilderness, and he began to attack him, and he began to quote scripture to him, though, in his attack. I think that's so strange for us to look at, that the devil didn't come to Jesus and say, hey, would you like a smoke off of this cigarette, Jesus? He knew that would never be even a touch to Jesus. He didn't say, hey, would you like some Jack Daniels, Jesus? Would you like a little bit of this cocaine? He didn't even try that approach with Jesus. Just like many of you, he wouldn't even try that anymore. You're past that. You're beyond that. But what he tried to come and do was tried to quote, or as Brother Branham says it, coat a little bit of the word to him. He said, well, the word says this over here. And he didn't misquote Moses, but his line of thinking that he was trying to force this quote of Moses into was contrary to the line of scripture. Now, he took this one quote and he said, now, you know, the angel said, if you would fall down, cast yourself down, you know, you wouldn't even bruise your foot up on a stone or anything like that. He said, why don't you throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple? Now, he was quoting scripture to him, but he was perverting the interpretation of the scripture. It wasn't that he was bringing something from the Quran, or that he was bringing something from some lesser teacher, or that he was bringing something from some false god out there, from some false prophet. Here he begins to quote Moses' words to Jesus, and Jesus didn't say, now that was before B.C. 3663. He didn't try to belittle Moses' ministry or Moses' word by trying to say, well, we don't really, but that wasn't really, you know, that was before the seals was open, or that was before the anointing really, really came on Moses. He didn't try to belittle Moses' ministry or to contradict the quote. He just tried to balance the quote that this man was bringing with the correct balance in the scripture, instead of his perverted opinion of what he thought this scripture meant. He said, it is also written. Didn't say, well, I don't believe that quote over here. I believe this one over here in 64. He said, it is also written. What is he doing? He's bringing balance with the word.
He's not doing away with the portion of the word to fit his own opinion. He's not doing away with the portion of the word because, well, I never really understood that one either, so we'll just leave that one aside. Or you know, that one never really rubbed my pet doctrine the right way. He doesn't do away with what Satan is quoting him. He just balances it with another quote. Oh, if God could just give us wisdom to do that when people come at us and try to spew out quotes and say, well, what about this over here? And what about that over there? And I believe this one right over here. That's good, but it's also written. That's good, but if you just take that one by itself, there's no balance. But let me balance it with this one over here. And he began to do this to him. Said, oh my. Said, it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Said, oh, just, he said, I have control over all the nations of the world. Said, if you'll just bow down at my feet and worship me, I'll give it to you. You won't have to die on the cross to get it back. We'll sign a deal right here. I'll give it all back to you. He said, but it's also written, thou shalt worship no other gods before me. He begins to balance this out when he comes and tries to bring this false leading to him. Now, if we could just do that in our own interactions, maybe it may not be the devil himself, maybe just some evil spirit or some tormentor, some addiction or something, some doubt or question that comes into our mind. If we can stand there and have the same approach that Jesus did, if he could face the very devil with that, then we should be able to face these little, lower demons that he sends our way of doubt or fear or sickness or whatever it would be. We can stand there and face those with the word of God and say, I'll take the word of God over your word. This is what David did. He began to equip the sheep. He began to stand there and fight for the sheep with the only things that he had. And we do the same thing today with the slingshot of faith and the sword of the word. Amen. Questions and Answers 1961. He begins to tell us how we recognize somebody's position in Christ. He's speaking of adoption and placing and somebody's office in the church. He says, your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And then if you want to know whether it's the Holy Spirit or not, find out whether he blesses what you're doing or not. And if he blesses it, then that's him. If he doesn't bless, I know this, gets right on people's nerves and things when you go to preach like this, but I realize that it's not about numbers and it's not about crowds. It's not about things like that. But when you see a brother that he pulls away from everybody else and isolates himself within his home and maybe he feels like he's got a call in his life as a minister and it's just, him and his wife and his aunt and his best friend or somebody like that. And they sit there for about 16 years and there's never a soul saved. There's never anybody that they witness to and bring into the kingdom. There's never anybody healed. There's never any signs or wonders following. Nobody else begins to be attracted to this ministry. You have to wonder, if this man was really called, why wouldn't God bless it a little? Amen. Brother Branham said, he went out there and that man or that young man and young woman was over there. They'd been over there for a year in Africa as missionaries. He said, who have you led to the Lord Jesus Christ? They'd been over there for a year and couldn't produce one person. He said, you should go back home to your mommy and daddy. Stop wasting your time. Here they were with a zeal trying to do something for the Lord, but they was never called to do it. And a man that was called goes over. A man that was called goes over and in one prayer line, thousands healed. Thousands saved, come to the Lord. One prayer line. He didn't spend a year over there saining and saining and saining. He goes over. But what was it? It was the difference between God called and man sent. Amen. I don't believe, there Noah was. There he was. He had a small group. I'm not picking and making fun of small groups. We used to be a small group. That's okay. But there were some signs and wonders following Noah's ministry. When the rains began to fall, his group went up. So even though it was a small group, yet God was still blessing that small group. I hope you understand what I'm saying this evening. Amen. I'm not making fun of small groups. Sometimes people, we get this idea, we're a middle-sized church now. We're not really, really small anymore, but we're not really, really big. So we kind of fit right in there where we get away with it. But, the big church will say to the little church, they'll say, if there was anything to that, then you would have more members than you have. And the little bitty church will look at the big church and say, if you really preached the true word of God, you wouldn't have as many people as you did. So we fit somewhere in the middle. We're kind of, Amen, Brother Layton. Whatever God wants. Like someone said to me, Brother Bam says, not long ago, said, the Lord called me to preach. I said, well, just sit down and shut up. Oh, wait, that's not what he said, is it? Just 8:20, Brother Yarbrough, we're already getting in trouble. Like someone said to me long ago, said, the Lord called me to preach. I said, well, then preach, see? And so he really, I think it's so. Satan, if he can just get somebody as to act like that and then deceive them, that's just what he wants to do, then the whole world points their finger right there. Somebody thinks they have a gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation. Some has the gift of divine healing. Some has these things like someone, they're mistaken in those things, see? And sometimes they think they haven't got it when they have. So it's very tricky. You mean somebody could think that they were called and not be called, and then somebody not think they were called and be called? Absolutely, that's what he said. In fact, he said many times, he said those that want to just run and they think, oh my, you know, bless God, send me, I'll go do it. He said many times those are just a stuffed shirt and don't ever do nothing. But he said usually it's that one that runs from it, like Moses or like Jonah or like Paul or different ones that ran from it. He said usually that's the one God's going to use. Sometimes they think they haven't got it when they have, so it's very tricky. So always do this, brethren. Whenever you feel that you're supposed to do a thing, first find out if it's scriptural for you to do it. First find out if it's scriptural for you to do it. Some men come and say, God called me to preach and been married and divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced. Probably not. I don't think God would call the man if it was contrary to what his scripture said. God's not going to tell one thing in his word and then turn around and call somebody to do something different. He said if it's in the scriptures, not just wrote in one place, but I mean completely scriptural through the Bible for you to do it, your position. Say if you'd be an evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, whatever that God might have called you to be, you see, or if you have the gift of interpretation, gift of any kind of, you mean he's instructing people that they can still have these gifts in this age? I told a brother on the phone the other day, I said, you know, I think it's so strange. Brother Branham spent so much time, you know, most people today would probably feel like he just wasted his time. So much time differentiating between a woman preacher and a man and what the scripture said about it and how a woman wasn't supposed to preach. Why did he waste so much time, you know, explaining that to us if the men weren't supposed to preach either? What would it matter? Or if you have the gift of tongues, gift of interpretation, gift of any other kind of the 9 spiritual gifts in the church and the 4 spiritual offices of the church, any position, first see if God called. Then usually, way I watch it for myself, he says, just this is me. I watch the nature of the person and see what kind of a gift that they're professing. See, God will work with his creature the way he's made him. Let me read that again. God will work with his creature the way he's made him. So, you know, God wouldn't call somebody to sing and then give them, you know, a gift where they couldn't, you know, hardly sing their way out of a bucket. We've got a few brothers here. If you all ever stay too long and we're just flat wore out and people won't leave, I'll just invite them up to sing and the church will dismiss real fast. They have a calling for that. I won't call names this evening, but you know who you are, some of you. Some of them actually come up and profess to me that that's their calling. If you ever need to get rid of people, just invite me up to sing. So God deals with this creature in the way that God has made him. He's not going to call somebody to be, some great singer in the message and then be tone deaf. He's not going to do it. He's going to deal with them in the way that he's made them. Now, just because they're tone deaf doesn't mean that they can't do something. They may not be able to sing a lick, but they may be able to play an instrument or be a deacon or a trustee or a Sunday school teacher, and God would place them in that way, but he's going to equip his man. He's going to equip the creature, even if it's a woman, if it's a housewife, if it's a Sunday school teacher, whatever it would be, he's going to equip them with what they have need of for the calling that he's placing them into. Oh my, let's look at it a little further. He said, see, he'll make a creature. If you seem real flighty and going on you, and he says, the Lord called me for such and such to be a pastor. He said, now a pastor can't be a flighty person. a pastor's solid sound. See, oh, I know there's some that they claim to be pastors and they're over in this state 1 month and they're over in that state starting a church the next month and they're up in this country 1 month and down in that country 1 month and God called them to be a pastor here, there, and everywhere. He said a pastor can't be a flighty person. I had a brother come and tell me at the storefront one time, said, Brother Nathan, I've started 12 churches in the United States and Canada. I had to bite my tongue real hard, Brother Jimmy. I wanted to say, you think the Lord is ever trying to tell you something? He didn't stay at 12 churches, but he had started them and then left them and started one and left them and started them and left them. A pastor can't be a flighty person. Now, you can get quiet on me or you can amen what he said. It's your option tonight. He said, God called me to be a teacher and watch him how he interprets the word, see? He gets it all mixed up and everything, then you can tell, see? But then the thing to do, your position is usually known whether you can do it or not. That's pretty simple. Your position is usually known by whether you can do it or not. Now, you know, if God calls you to do something, let's just even take it in the natural life. My dad's a plumber, but if he came and said, you know what, God called me to be a plumber and that's what I'm going to do for my career. And then about after 100 houses that he'd worked on, he had to go back to every one of them 3 or 4 times to fix leaks of that house. You'd begin to wonder, are you sure that God called you to be a plumber? Brother Lee's, you know, he does lawn care now, but he's a very talented carpenter. And if God had called him to be a carpenter and he said, bless God, Mom, bless God, Dad, I'm going out to be a carpenter. And about every third nail that he hit was one of his own. You'd have to wonder after a while, he'd come in bleeding and bandaged. Pray for me again, Brother Nathan. What's wrong? God called me to be a carpenter. Bless God. Are you sure God called you to be a carpenter? Brother Jimmy doing maintenance work and stuff, if every time he changed a light bulb, he electrocuted himself, I think after about 3 days, they would tell him, look, I think God's calling you to do something else. And we laugh at that in the natural, but you see men going around beating at things in the spiritual, saying, God called me to do this, God called me to do that, and no results. Maybe God's called him to do something else. I don't have the quote in front of me right now, but I'm reminded of it. Brother Branham said, he said, oh, the brother sang a few minutes ago. He said he's tried to find all kinds of things to do around here. He said, one to be a deacon and one to be this, one to be that. He said, if he just stick with that, he said, that's where God's called him. He said he was gifted at it and blessed at it. I thought, goodness, might have embarrassed the man, but he gave him some good advice. Stay in the calling where you're called. Amen. We've got a lot of people, you know, electricians and different things around the message trying to go around straightening out all the pastors. God never called them to do that. Thirst, 1965. Now, sometimes we make the church programs. They'll also call for their pastor. The church goes to vote the pastor. They say, well, this pastor now, he's got 2 degrees in college. He learned 4 years of psychology. He took this, that, and the other. And they'll vote that kind of a man in. Why? Instead of a pastor who believes in God's word being inspired and being God and will preach the word regardless of how people feel about it. Oh, my, you talk about a real shepherd. He said, God told his Ezekiel, you know, said, preach that, whether they believe it or not, you preach it anyhow. See, right, whether they accept it or not, that ain't it. They didn't accept Jesus. He went right on preaching it just the same, see? Instead of a real pastor that'll really preach the word and believe in God, they try to bring in the intellect, the man who's got the best education, the man who can stand in the pulpit and don't take but just about 15 minutes so they can get home right quick and go some do something else. You wonder where people's hearts are today. Oh my, time of decision, 1959, he said, Eliezer, when he had the assurance that the angel was going before him, then he could decide to go because he had something to back him up. He said, I think that ought to be the assurance of every man of God that preaches the gospel, that he's got something positive from God that'll back up what he preaches. He said, if you haven't got it, brethren, it's for you. Amen. God still sends men with an angel before him when he goes to take a message to the church. Not only that, but when Eliezer left, the father of Isaac, which was represented the father of Christ, he loaded the whole train of camels with good gifts for the bride. He said, oh, I feel religious right now. Oh, how I love Jesus. He loaded the camel full of good gifts to give to the bride, and he never told her that they were for another generation or another day, but they were for the bride. Amen. Oh, they were for the bride. He's still got some good gifts for his bride. Amen. Amen. And all of it, we believe, you know, I think by now at this church, we believe that some of them are right up here on the platform. But don't limit God to up here on the platform. He's got some good gifts for you out there too. Amen. There's still, I know a lot of message preachers have got away from it, but my Bible still talks about 9 spiritual gifts. I didn't tear out those pages when we accepted the message, but he talked about 9 spiritual gifts. You say, oh no, when that which is perfect is done, these things will be done away with. Well, if you really believe that, then let's do away with all of it. Let's do away with faith. Let's do away with healing. Let's do away with knowledge. Oh, you didn't realize those were part of the 9 spiritual gifts. Oh yeah, we pick on tongues and interpretation and prophecy. We try to put those off in some other day, but you can't split them up. No more than you can split up the 5 ministering gifts. Oh, I know they try to do it. We got a lot of 1-folders and a lot of 4-folders around the message, but I like them all. Amen. Any gift that God wants to send, I just happen to like it. I happen to love it. Brother Bram said in one place, he said, you can't divide it and say, well, now I like the pastor, but I don't like the prophet, or I like the missionary, but I don't like this or the other. He said, that's picking and choosing what you want. I'm glad he made statements like that. Amen. He never told her they were for another generation or another day, but they were for the bride. And every true servant of God that's sent out has got a whole book full of divine promises that he can offer to the bride. I'm so glad of that, he says. He's got gifts in there for her, and he will not hold any of them back. You know why a lot of them get held back around the message is jealousy. A lot of pastors are scared to have another pastor in because they're afraid, well, if I have Brother so-and-so, his ministry is so much more dynamic than mine, I'm afraid I'll lose some sheep. Or if I have this evangelist brother of mine, he can preach circles around me. I'm scared to death if I have him in. Maybe people just get disillusioned with me and walk away. No real true servant of God hides back any gifts from the people. Hey man, I always felt sorry for poor old Brother Neville, Brother Lee. He'd stand there and Brother Branham would come back in town and they'd pack the place out, and then Brother Branham would leave and it'd just be maybe a handful here and a handful there, and some of them would go down to Brother Ruddles and some of them down to Junior Jackson's and some of them over here and some of them over there, and Brother Branham would come back in and try to, he said, oh my, Brother Neville, a true servant of God, come down here, he'll do you good. He never belittled Brother Neville. He never tried to tell people, now you stay away from Brother Neville and you know, when I'm gone, then you come back to church when I'm here. He never taught that. You'll never find me that quote. Amen. But what was it? Some of these things that go on today, it's not no new spirit. We look around like we should be shocked, but these things have been going on since the book of Genesis. Here, a little humble pastor standing there and yields himself, a prophet of God coming down. He said, Brother Branham, would you take the service? Sometimes Brother Branham would. Sometimes he'd say, I want to hear Brother Neville preach tonight. Sometimes he'd even let him preach in the mornings. Oh, I know that's not popular around the message today, but I heard him just the other day. He said, oh my, that sermon that Brother Neville preached this morning, he said, I got 15 texts out of it. We ought to thank God for Brother Neville. There's a lot of tapes we might not have ever heard if a prophet of God hadn't sit there and got inspiration from a little humble pastor's services. When he goes to preach restoration of the bride's tree, he said, I got the inspiration for this morning. Listen to our brother preach. Thank God for Brother Neville. Amen. I know they wanted to kick him out and push him out and force him out, but you know, it's because they were worshiping a man instead of just glorifying what God was doing through both of these men's gifts. It wasn't very fair to Brother Neville. He could never compete with Brother Branham's gift, no more than me or any other man, but God didn't call him to be Brother Branham. He called him to be Brother Neville. And God used his personality and his position and his disposition and things to be exactly what he needed to be there. Brother Branham said, I couldn't be a pastor. You didn't know he said it? Go search it. He said, I never was effective as a pastor. He said, I hear those planes going over and I want to go with them. He said, his wife called him, you know, I forget what the name of the song, Restless Winds, he said. You know, he said, some of you maybe heard it. And it's an old, we call it a bluegrass song today, I guess. It was an old cowboy song, the weary wind is a restless wind or something like that. You can go look it up on YouTube. I know that shocks people today. They said, oh, anything without the name Jesus in it, we should just kick it away. Well, I think it's interesting when Brother Branham goes along and there he is in vision. And now don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting things that are of the devil. I'm not promoting rock and roll and some song where somebody got, you know, crying in their beer or lost their woman or something like that. But Brother Branham begins to talk about some things sometimes that if a message preacher got up and talked today, a lot of the people would just run off and leave. He said, oh my, he said there, he said, I went down to my old Kentucky home the other day. He said, my, Stephen Foster's, he said, one of the most anointed men, you know, with folk songs for America. He said, "Old Black Joe and my old Kentucky home," and begins to name off some of these songs. And he says, "You know, there I was." He said, I stepped into that vision. And he said, "There was an old prairie schooner." And he said, "The wheel on the wagon was broken there." And he said, "I begin to hear, in this vision," he begins to hear, "The wheel on the wagon is broken." Google that tonight when you go home. See if that's in your hymn book. It's an old cowboy song. And he's hearing that in vision because it's representing something that's going on supernatural in his life. Amen. I heard a brother argued with me and Brother Layton one time online and said, "Oh, anything that doesn't have the name Jesus in it, it just should be trashed." I thought, well, what would he have done when Brother Branham sat there and they said they're going to sing the national anthem, and he stood up and put his hat over his heart and said, "My old Kentucky home far away." That brother would have passed out. I'm not glorifying the devil tonight. I know some things out here is just absolutely perverted and inspired of the devil. A lot of it today is, but there's some genuine things that were inspired by people of national songs and things like that to build courage. Brother Bram talked about when they went into the battle. He said they played the drums and they played the music and things to get them in the spirit for battle. And then people get offended by that around the message when we try to do that. You know, we're supposed to be going to battle too. Onward, Christian soldiers. Amen. Something Brother Bram said when Elisha sat there and he said he got his dandruff all worked up, and he said, that man came to him and said, "If it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for the presence of this righteous Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you or speak to you." He said, "Bring me a minstrel." You know, they don't believe in stringed instruments around the message, a lot of them anymore, but we still do. Amen. I don't believe a prophet of God would have stood and held one in his hand with his wife there beside him with another stringed instrument and then turned around and said the thing was of the devil. If it did, bring me a quote and show me, and I'll break every one. Sorry, Brother Arnie, I'll pay you back for yours, but bring me the quote. You go in and type in guitar. Usually the quotes that he'll say about guitar is, "I don't know why I'm getting on all this tonight, Brother Layton," but that's all right. We're talking about shepherds tonight. He said he's got gifts in there. He won't hold any good ones back from them, so... Oh my, you go and search guitar. He says things usually like, he said, "Oh my, we've got our great big cathedrals now with $1 million pipe organs." He said, "You'd have been better off on the street corner with an old guitar and a tambourine and salvation." Amen. Amen. I don't know who they're listening to, but that's what my prophet said. Amen. He said, "Elisha," he said, "they begin to beat the drums. They begin to sing, there's going to be a meeting in there." He said, he began to stomp his feet and clap his hands. He said, "Oh, now I feel the anointing." He said, if music would bring the anointing on the prophet back then, it'll still do it today. Amen. Amen. That's why sometimes, you know, we just sing a little bit longer before I start preaching. I'm not just going to get up here and give you a sermonette. I'm not just going to get up here and give you a thesis or something, but I'm going to wait for the presence of the Lord to come. And if I don't feel the presence of the Lord here, we'll just say, look, folks, it's sure been good being here singing some songs. Let's dismiss and go home. Amen. Because I'm not foolish enough to try it without him here. Hey man, you want to talk about making a fool out of yourself? I would certainly make a fool out of myself if he wasn't here. Amen. He says he will get every one of them cleanly. A true servant, a model servant, a servant that God can put trust in. He won't try to hide it back from her because he knows that she is the oncoming queen. He said, "Oh, there is no good thing withheld from them that'll walk upright before him. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If ye abide in me and my words in you, ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. The book's full of it, and every promise in the book is yours, you the bride." Notice he didn't put it all on the prophet. He didn't put it all on the pastor. He didn't put it all on the platform. He said, every promise in the book is yours, the bride. What is he trying to do? He's trying to equip some sheep because he was a real true shepherd. Amen. The Godhead Explained, 1961. He says, pastors sometimes are suspicious of things that they hear. And I think they have a right to be, because if I understand the translation of the word pastor, how many thinks he understood the translation? Amen. If I understand the translation of the word pastor, it means a shepherd. And therefore, he is a feeder or herder of a group of men and women of which the Holy Spirit has made him the overseer of. Now, I know today we're trying to, in the message, they want to have overseers over this group and overseers over that group. And we got overseers over in Trinidad and different places. But he said that God calls a shepherd to be the overseer of a group of men and women. You say, Brother Nathan, I think you should play this. Brother so-and-so over here in this state is preaching this. I think you ought to preach that. God's calling him to preach and do and say whatever his flock needs. But God will lead me what to do for this flock as long as I'm the pastor. Amen. He'll lead me what tapes to play. He'll lead me what sermons to preach. He'll lead me what people to have through and preach for us, or when to have these other local ministers to do. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe in shepherds. Amen. God calls a man and anoints a man. He sets a group of people underneath them. I never forced anybody to come here and sit under me. I never begged anybody to come here and sit under me or to stay under me. I never did it, but the Holy Spirit led you here. If he didn't, then you're not supposed to be here. But I believe everybody that's here, the Holy Spirit led them here. Amen. Because we didn't send out flyers and beg and persuade and pat people along, but the Holy Spirit has led the people here. Amen. When God leads you to a man, that doesn't mean that you have to be subject unto him like some overlord or something that I have to get into your personal lives and tell you now you can't do this and you can't do that. But it's that when the word goes forth over the platform and God is leading a man that you're sitting under to do something, be careful before you get too skeptical about it, because God's probably leading that right by your path for a purpose. Oh my, he says, and he has the right to know what kind of food his sheep is getting and where it's coming from. Oh my. You know, we had a gentleman come a few years ago, come by, and I knew that he liked to just dabble into different things and studying different things and promote different things, and he'd done it at different churches. And so I read this quote and another quote that I'm getting ready to read here. And, you know, I just kind of encourage the people, if you're wanting to share something with the church, please share it with me and the deacons before you do. Now, I'm not talking about, I was giving Brother David Eplin a hard way to go the other day. He came in with a manila envelope, you know, and a bunch of printed papers. I said, uh-oh, what are you passing around? Which I knew what it was. It was an invitation to a little family party there. But I was teasing him about, you know, these guys with manila envelopes that come into the church and pass out things, you know. You got to watch those guys. We're here to promote two things. Well, it boils down to one thing, really. We're here to promote the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is the Word, remember? So we're here to promote two things. I promote two things here, the Bible and the message of the hour. I'm not interested really in anything else. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nominal men that I've read their books, and sometimes I've enjoyed it. Sometimes I've got little snippets of inspiration and things from them. But I'm not going to go study some Trinitarian to find out what to feed you. I'm not here to promote some woman preacher or some Trinitarian or something like that. I'm here to promote the message and the Bible, because they are the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ in word form. Not in flesh. We still believe that, you know, that he's going to have a body and we're going to have one like his own glorious body. Don't just put him on page form tonight. Amen. But we do believe that that is the verbal or the written representation of Jesus Christ. It's his expression, as if you, when you were a young man dating your wife and you would sit down, you would begin, maybe you just, every time you'd get around her, you'd break out in a sweat and you'd get nervous and shaky and you just couldn't put it into words to really express what you were trying to say to her. So you would sit down and you know, if it was a few years ago, maybe you'd get a pencil and a paper or an ink pen, but now we'd sit down and we'd write an email or we'd send a text message and we would try to express, we'd take out the time to express in the best of our ability our feelings and our emotions and what we were trying to get across. That's what the Word of God is. He expressed himself in word form to his people. Amen. So I'm here to promote that, you know, but and I was trying to warn against that and say, you know, if you're going to share something outside of this with the people, run it through us first. But sure enough, we had a special meeting and, you know, begin to promote different things that the man did that about, you know, the different things, the prophecies outside of the message of things with certain dates and times and things that they thought was going to take place. And so we approached the man and reminded him that, look, we're here to promote these two things. And he got mad and left. Don't get scared. I'm not going to call his name tonight. I love the brother. I love him. I can genuinely say that. But we have a right to do that. Amen. I'm not just going to let anything come run through this church. They say, oh, that Brother Nathan over there at the Church of the Open Door, see, he wants to silence the voice of the bride. No, I don't want to silence the voice of the bride. I want to silence the Trinitarian garbage and woman preacher garbage and stuff like that that people try to filter in through the message. Amen. We came out of all that. I'm not looking back to that for my answers. I'm not looking back to that for my revelation. We had the perfect revelation of the word with divine vindication in this age. Amen. I appreciate some of the things that Dr. Dobson and some of these have to say about the family. And they help a lot of people going through divorces and going through abuse and things like that. That's wonderful. I don't just throw that in the garbage. But I'm not going to go to Dr. Dobson to get a revelation to share from you. I'm going to go to the Bible and to the prophet for this age. Amen. I'm not interested in some of these men's out here, their predictions and prophecies and things going forth of rapture dates and economy dates and all these kinds of dates and ideas and things like that. What happens? They come and they go and they come up with a new date. And they come and they go and they come up with a new date. And we never find them at an altar repenting and asking God to forgive them for telling the church a lie. We just find them producing something else that's false. Let's look at how the prophet of God handled things like that. We're talking about a real shepherd tonight. Redemption by judgment, 1954. He said, I sure appreciate our pastor here, Brother Neville, as a true servant of the Lord. He, just as soon as anything, you know, a real shepherd will watch. And if there's anything gets wrong with the sheep, he's right on the guard, isn't he? A real shepherd. But a hireling runs back and lets the thing go through and kill the sheep. And isn't that right? But a real shepherd's on his guard. A little tract was passed and sent out this week to many of the members of the church through here, as I understand, was concerning a doctrine, a cult that originates in West Virginia. Now, he's picking on West Virginia tonight, not me. A doctrine, a cult that originates in West Virginia. And it's nothing, friends. It's nothing new. It's old. And they denied Jesus, his name being Jesus. And they, now the pastor, as soon as he found it, he rushes right to me and tells me about it, something to be done. I said, well, surely the church established enough in the gospel of Jesus Christ knows better than that. See, they call it Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahweh. You know, there's brothers right around the message that still believes this stuff. They call it Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahweh. Now, our dear old brother Ryan, now here he's going to call names. I didn't do it tonight, but he's going to do it. Now, our dear old brother Ryan that comes here once in a while, he's mixed up in that too. And Mrs. Larson that was once here with us, she's into that also and getting a whole group of them start. Now, Christian friend, the word Joshua, and they say the Bible is misinterpreted and so forth. Look, don't pay no attention what people say about that Bible being misinterpreted. If this is misinterpreted, something else, they say, this just is misinterpreted. Where's your faith laying at? This is God's word. He said, this is the way it looks right here. See and believe. It just, now the word, now here is fact. The lady that came to me here some time ago, and she didn't believe that his name was Jesus. She said his name should be Jehovah Junior. He says, So I said, lady, see what it is, friends? People who has those minds, receptacles to isms, the first thing you know, they get it, a spirit of delusion, and go off and believe an error. Now, every one of you sitting here knows somebody like that, you know, constantly digging into something. Brother Branham said, maybe we'll look at it another time when we have more time than we do tonight. But he said, that's what Eve did. She went off looking for new light. And he said, and the devil had plenty to show her. A lot of these that are supposedly seeking the truth and seeking vindication and seeking this and seeking that, they supposedly went off looking for more light, and they didn't go to any new light. They didn't go to any more light. They went back. They went backwards. The Holy Spirit, you show me one time in any age, he has never led anybody backwards. He's always led the church forwards. But he said people who has minds, he said they're receptacles to isms. Always dabbling into something. Oh my, did you hear about this conspiracy over here? Did you hear about this over here? Did you hear this brother saying the rapture is happening on this day? Did you hear about this that's taking place over here? Did you hear about this? Did you hear what this Trinitarian said over here? Did you hear what this woman preacher said? Did you see this on YouTube? Did you see that over there? Then constantly looking for something extracurricular, as we would say. Something outside of the message, trying to find new light, trying to find more prophecy. Let me tell you, there is no prophecy that I'm looking for out of what Malachi 4 brought. Amen. He said their minds, receptacles to ism, the first thing you know, they get it, a spirit of delusion, and go off and believe in error. And they're just ready for something like that. And don't do that. Be solid. The Bible said be stable, unmovable, see, abounding in Christ. Now, first person I ever turned away from my house in my life was this woman. You mean Brother Branham, a prophet of God, would turn somebody away from his home? Now, first person I ever turned away from my house in my life was this woman. I said, don't come up here if you can't come and talk of something different from that. Now, we'd be scared to death to do that now, wouldn't we all? I wouldn't want to hurt Sister So-and-so's feelings, or I wouldn't want to hurt Brother So-and-so, or I wouldn't want to hurt those little kind Jehovah Witnesses that come by, or those little Mormon boys. I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. He didn't just stand there and swallow down false doctrine, let him drive him crazy for 14 hours standing on his doorstep. The first person I ever turned away from my house in my life was this woman. I said, don't come up here if you can't come and talk of something different from that. Because that's, I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And I said, that's, my faith is built on that. And if a person comes to you and tries to tear down the Lord Jesus Christ or try to raise up another man, I don't care if it's a Mormon, if it's a Jehovah Witness, if it's a message person trying to push false doctrine on you or whatever it is, you don't have to cow down to that and sit there and just, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I got to be polite and sweet. Jesus was the Christian. He wasn't Christ-like. He was the Christ. And he didn't put up with their false doctrine. He bound the cords together and run them out of the temple and kicked over the money changer tables. We'd say, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that. I've got the Spirit of Christ. He was Christ. Now, I'm not saying roll up your sleeves and get in a fight with a Jehovah Witness or your aunt or uncle or your friend that believes different than you do in the message. But I'm saying if they're bold enough to stand there and try to push false doctrine down your throat, you don't have to just stand there and take it. There comes a point where you can say, good day, you have a good day. I'm going to have a good day because you're leaving, and you have a good day, and shut the door. Satan tries to beat people down and say, oh, a Christian wouldn't do that. Absolutely. A Christian wouldn't stand and swallow down false doctrine and dogma and sit there. You know, that's what Eve did. She said, you know what? The serpent does have some good points. You know, and he did quote a few scriptures to me and tried to put it together. And, you know, she began to stand there and talk to him and begin to reason with him. But a real true seed of God, they're not just going to swallow down everything that the devil tries to send their way. Amen. I don't think we should pick a fight with nobody, or we should just be absolutely rude to somebody. But I'm not going to let somebody come in and run over me or my family or my church with a bunch of false doctrine and false predictions and false dogmas. I'm going to stand and take the sling and say, look, I love you as a person, but you better go. Amen. You better go. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. You have a good day, but I'm not going to stand here and put up with that.
All right.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother M says, again, the same sermon, Joshua is the name of Jesus in Hebrew. That's all. If it's in the English, it's Jesus, means Joshua. Now, you know, we've got that in different languages. I believe in Spanish, Miguel is Michael, you know, and different things like that. Or Jose is Joseph, or Jesus is Jesus, and things like that. Different interpretations of the same word. They're trying to tell him, you have to go back into the old Hebrew and say Yahshua or Joshua or different pronunciations of the word like that. He said, Joshua is the name of Jesus in Hebrew. That's all. If it's in English, it's Jesus, means Joshua. Joshua, it's the same thing, see? Now, if you want to say, well, you ought to say it in the Hebrew word, then we ought to say all the rest of it in the Hebrew word. See, then we all ought to understand Hebrew and let the Hebrew then be the international dialect. So see how thin it is? There's nothing to it. Most of these false things that come up around the message, if people would even just use an intellectual line of thought just to take them out on that line of thought a little ways further than what they can see in the front of the nose on their face, they'd recognize it's the same thing. It's just as thin as it can be. People come around and say different things, comments, and things. Just take that line of thought a little further and see how nonsense it is. But they try to just point you, look at this, look at this, look at this. Well, that's all right, but let's take that line of thought a little bit further and see where it takes us. Brother Branham said he told that person, said, oh my, said, you said that Jesus was divine, said he wasn't divine. He said, well, he said, prove it to me by the Bible if he wasn't divine, and I'll believe you. Didn't say bring me an almanac or bring me your theory or bring me your church's book or whatever it is. Said, prove it to me by the Bible. She said, well, when he went to Lazarus' grave, said he wept and said that proved that he wasn't divine. He said, lady, is that your argument? Now, he didn't say, oh, well, that sure is sweet, sister. That is certainly a wonderful revelation. I never thought of that. Well, God bless you, sister. Thank you for sharing me that. He said, is that your argument? She said, yes. He said, that's thinner than the broth made from the shadow of a chicken that starved to death. That's pretty thin. pretty thin. He said, yes, that's true. When he stood there and he wept, he was a man. But he said, when he straightened those shoulders and he cried, Lazarus, come forth. He said, that was more than a man. Oh, yes, he was a man when he laid back in the boat with a headache. But when he stepped up on the side of the boat and he said, peace be still. There was no man that could do that. That was more than a man. He said, oh, yes, he was a man when he was hanging there crying, Father, or when he was crying, why hast thou forsaken me? And he said, but when the stone rolled back and he came forth a triumphant victor, he said, that was more than a man. Amen. Amen. Ye must be born again. 1961, he said, therefore, it's the duty of we as pastors to see that this flock is fed and fed right. Because God Almighty will require your blood at our hands at the day of the judgment. We'll answer for you. So seeing this great, tremendous responsibility that's placed upon us, and God has given us people who love us and come to hear us, then we should spend our time constantly watching for your souls. Amen. Don't get mad or offended if the Lord lays something on my heart to preach to you. Because I'm just trying to call you back off of the edge of the cliff or something. I do it not because I'm angry at you or because I'm angry at somebody else or because I just want to prove how smart I am or something. I'm not smart at all. I'll be the first to admit that. But the Lord Jesus Christ has sure put some things together for us. But what is it? He said we should spend our time constantly watching for your souls. And when the first little thing we see raising up that's not right, it's our duty to come to that person, because we are shepherds watching that sheep. And if we see the sheep eating on a weed that will kill it, I better drive it away from that weed. Jerk the weed right away from it so it cannot get to it, because it'll kill the sheep. And there's known in the Western countries a weed that an animal can eat. It's called loco weed. I don't know whether anybody ever heard of it or not, a loco weed. Yes, a horse can eat of that and you just can't do nothing with him. He just becomes an outlaw. You can't put a saddle on him and you can't do nothing with him. It's called loco weed. And you must keep your stock away from it, from that weed. And if it'll cause a horse to eat something, if a horse rather it'll eat something that throws him into this condition, into his spasm, why, you would be a very poor cowboy to let your horse eat a loco weed. It shows that you don't care. Let's just go ahead and make the devil real mad tonight. A lot of this garbage going around in the name of the message, all it is a bunch of loco weed. To try to get your eyes off of the real true word of God. To try to get your eyes on some doctrine or dogma or personality or group that's rallying around something. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand here by the best of my ability and fight those things. Not fight the individuals, not fight the brothers, but try to fight a spirit that would creep in around the people and try to get them eating loco weed. And then them run out here, oh my, Brother Nathan, did you hear this? And did you hear what Brother so-and-so's saying over here? You better be careful that you ain't eating on loco weed. A lot of this stuff that rises up tries to elevate Brother Branham to the place of Jesus Christ, or tries to tell people, you know, we're going to correct what Brother Branham said. We're going to go further than Brother Branham. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You better be careful chewing on that loco weed. And a real pastor, he says, a real servant of Christ will be a poor example of Christ to see the sheep eat something that's going to drive him away or make him an outlaw before God. A breaker of his word, a breaker of his commandments. You shouldn't do that. You should watch that very closely. Amen. Amen. By the best of my ability in the Lord Jesus Christ helping me, that's what we're going to do here. Amen. Not because we're against people, not because we're trying to prove everybody else wrong, but because I'm trying to keep you from getting confused out here in something that's going to drive you away. And if you're not careful, you begin to eat on this over here and eat on that over there, and some brother teaching something, and then you say, well, now I'm confused. I don't know. Brother Nathan's teaching this, and this brother over here is teaching that, and I look at the message, and this is what Brother Branham's saying, and I see it clear, and, you know, Brother Nathan just taught on that, and it's right there in the message, it's right there in the Bible, but then there's this over here and that over there, and this brother's going this direction, and that brother's going that direction. If you're not careful, you'll begin to look into some of those things, and then you'll begin to blame the message, like a lot of people have. They've got off into false doctrines, listened to the traditions of man and things like that, and got hurt or got deceived or got burnt out in some message tradition that Brother Branham never brought, but that some man with a legalistic idea or a perverted idea of the message taught. And then they get out there and they try to live all this stuff to the best of their ability. And then they turn around and think, you know what? That's not in the Bible at all. And they walk away from the message instead of walking away from the man that was feeding that garbage down their throats. And try to blame the message when that wasn't in the message at all. Or they get hurt by some man that, you know, abused his authority as a minister or tried to do something contrary to the word or went off and did this or went off and did that. And they look at that and say, well, I'll just give up on the message. That had nothing to do with the message. It was just a false shepherd. Oh, my. We should watch what we swallow down. Somebody said, oh, my brother so-and-so, my so anointed. The devil's anointed too. Oh my, this brother over here, my, he just teaches it like I never heard nobody else teach it. You better watch it if nobody else is teaching it. Because I figure the Holy Ghost, if he's going to lead one man to something, he can lead somebody else to it too. You know, God doesn't just set us up to be, you know, for he doesn't just give Brother Layton something or give Brother Nathan something and say, you know what, I'm going to give this to Nathan Bryant. And I'm just going to whisper this little mystery in his ear so that he can really make something of himself. So that when he reveals this mystery, my people are just going to flock to him. I never saw anywhere in the Bible or the message where a pastor ever revealed a mystery. It was the prophets that came and revealed the word. But a lot of ministers around the message, they feel like they've got to come up with something new to keep the people's attention. Oh, bless God, nobody's teaching this but me. Yeah, that's right, because you're feeding them local weed. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I want to try it with the best of my ability to just give you the pure, unadulterated word. I don't want it to be Nathan Bryant's opinions coming across here. And, well, I don't like this color, so, Brother Layton, don't you be wearing that color anymore. Or, well, you know, I think the sleeves have to be, you know, 7 inches past the elbow. So don't you sisters wear any sleeves 7 inches, you know, shorter than past the elbow. And I think this and I think that and begin to just project a bunch of man-made garbage. I don't want to do that. I want to show you what the word says. And if you recognize that's the desire of my heart, then I show it to you in the Word. If you've really got the Holy Ghost, you would come underneath it. Not because Brother Nathan said so, but because the Word said so. Now, if I'm giving you opinions and say, now, Brother Stephen, he's wearing a checkered shirt tonight, but I've decided I don't like checkered shirts, so I don't want none of y'all wearing checkered shirts. You have a right to come to me and say, show me that. Show me where Brother Branham said that. Is that just your opinion? Is that just your idea? Or is there a quote or a scripture on that? And if I can't produce a quote or a scripture, then I ought to be man enough and humble enough to come under subjection to the word. Is that fair? You know, it can work both ways. Now, I know some people, they'll nitpick everything. Now you stuttered the other night and you said this and you said a number other than that. But, you know, usually if you just listen through to the complete thought, you'll catch that I said what I was meaning to say. It just took me a while to get there. You know, Brother Branham did that too. How many questions came back? Did you mean 700 or 7,000? And they still make doctrines around it and around the message. When he came back and said, no, 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 no. He just said 700 instead of 7,000. But people have got to focus in on that and magnify in on that and make some big supernatural something out of it. You know, I would too if the prophet did. If he'd have come back and said, bless God, that was nothing but the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I didn't even know I was going to say that, and he spoke it. Then I'd say, bless God, there's something supernatural about that, Brother Gabe. But not just because some man comes up with an idea, and then the prophet comes around and says, no, 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 no. I'll take his no's instead of their yeses, all right? Brother Bram said even sometimes with the Lord, his no's are better than his yeses. Oh, I'm trying to find a place to quit, I promise. I don't want to just project to you opinion or ideas or assumptions. We can go down to hear some seminar or something if we want that. You know, there's a lot of people that have opinions and assumptions out in all kinds of different things, out in cults and all kinds of different things, that they can give a prediction just as well as I can. Well, you know, I can sit down and look at calendars and try to come up and dates and things, and might be able to do it better than somebody else, might not be able to do as good as somebody else. I don't know, but I'm not interested in predictions and suggestions and things like that. I want to know, what does the Word actually say? Right. I want to have a place where I can stand on something and not be, well, I don't know. It looks like it could be this way, and it looks like it could be that way, and this brother teaches it that way, and this brother teaches that way. I just don't know where to stand, Brother Layton. No, I want a solid foundation where I can stand on the Word and say, look, this is what the Word says. Amen. And if it's contrary to what this says, then I'm not interested in it. Amen. I hope you feel the same way tonight. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come. I was talking on the phone with Brother Jack Duff yesterday, and he made a statement. I thought, goodness gracious, that'll tie in right just along with what we've been looking at on Wednesday nights. So we may look at that next week, but God's good to us, isn't he? God has good things that he wants to feed you. My goodness, we've got a whole storehouse full of them, of good things that the Lord gave to us that we can look at. I don't have to go out here into some stale, polluted bread basket somewhere and try to get you out something, say, well, this is what Sister So-and-so is teaching over in this Pentecostal church. I don't want that old worm-eating stuff. We've got pure manna from heaven. Amen. Amen. If I'm going to show you something, if we're going to look at some revelation or look at some doctrine or look at something that's got life in it, I know where to point you to. Amen. As I've said many times before, I don't claim to have all the answers, but I sure know where I can point you to for them. Somebody come to me with a question, I'm not going to point him to, the Trinitarian handbook or something like that. I'm going to point you right back to the Bible and to the message. Amen. God bless you. Let's just bow our heads tonight together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you would be with us as a group of people, Lord. Lord, help us to stand for the truth with everything that's within us, Lord. Lord, as you said, Lord, a true servant of God will not withhold any true gift from the people. Lord, help me never, because of jealousy or anything like that, Lord, to be ashamed to have another brother come through that could be a blessing to your people. Help me never be ashamed, Lord, of a certain tape or a certain book or a certain quote or a certain scripture to share with the people. But Lord, may you just lead us and guide us, Lord. We don't want just a crumb, Lord. We want a whole bread basket full, Father. We want the whole word, Father. We don't want to just take a quote over here and a scripture over there out of context, Lord. But we want to embrace the whole truth, Lord, what you have for us in this age. Lord, I recognize everybody won't be able to see it in this age. I thank you, Lord, that you allow them to have a crumb here or a crumb there, Lord, that they can walk in a little bit of light as well. Lord, we don't hate those people, or we're not against those people. Lord, I thank you for the light that they're able to live in. I pray that you unfold more light to them, Father. But Lord, I'm not interested in going back to the crumbs of Laodicea. But Lord, I want to sit and eat on heavenly things in Christ Jesus, Lord, that you've unfolded to your bride in this age. Lord, may you just continue to unfold yourself to us, Lord. Continue to quicken your word to us. Help us, Lord, to have the right attitude, Lord. But help us not to let Satan beat us up to think that we've got to be so humble that we just have to cow down to false doctrines or somebody's opinions, Father. But help us to make sure we know where we're standing in the word, Father. Lord, you've gave us a scriptural foundation to stand on, Lord. May we stand on it, Lord, and stick with it with everything that we have, Father. Help me, Father. Lord, I didn't ask to be a shepherd. I didn't ask to be a pastor, Lord, but you called me to it, Father. Lord, I just ask that you'd give me the strength and the wisdom and the courage to do the job to the best of my ability, Lord, that when I see something springing up around that would be a hindrance to the people, that would maybe get them confused or be a hurt to their spiritual walk, Father, help me, Lord, to cry out against it with everything that I have within me, Father. Lord, not because I want to prove myself to be something, but because I'm concerned about souls. I'm concerned about sheep. Lord, be with these other ministers, Lord, that you've placed here with us, Father. Give them strength. Give them courage, Father. Lord, be with them and help them and lead them and guide them, Father. Lord, may you just bless them, Father. Lord, for how they've stood behind this work here, Father, and how they've been such a help and a support to it, Father. Lord, bless their ministries, Father, I pray. Bless each one that's represented here tonight, Lord. Every family, every individual, Lord. The deacons, the trustees, the song leaders. Lord, the musicians, the Sunday school teachers, Lord, everyone, the laity, Lord, those that come here and sit and encourage, Lord. And Father, they enjoy the different things, Lord, that you help me to lay out for them, Lord, whether it's preaching, whether it's a tape, whether it's a guest minister, whatever it is, Father, I can see their faces as they sit there and enjoy it, Father, and they put their shoulder to the wheel and help support the work, Father. And they try to encourage me, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful sometimes when I preach something hard, Father, and I just don't know sometimes what the people thought or how it went across or if it helped anybody. And then people begin to text me how it helped them and how it answered questions they have and how it encouraged them where they're at. Lord, I thank you, Lord. This isn't just a one-person show, Father, but it's a body move in this age. Lord, it's the body working together. Lord, all the anointing isn't up here on the platform, Lord. It's not just a holy man or a holy people, Lord, but it's the Holy Spirit working in your people, Father. We recognize, Lord, that many of the denominations, Lord, that especially starting off there at the Catholic Church, Father, they try to keep all the anointing up there on the pulpit with just the priest being the only holy one or just the Pope being the only holy one, Father. But your prophet cried out against that and said it was Nicolaitanism. That there was anointing on the people as well, and that it wasn't just for a man to get up and lead the people, but Lord, that the people were supposed to enter in and worship too. And he began to explain to us how, Lord, that we worship in church when we come together, but that we don't just come to just hear a sermon. We don't just come to sing songs, but it's a worship that we do. And not only at church, but he said when we testify on our jobs or on our schools or out in the stores or places that we would have to go, Lord, for just our normal lives that we're living, Father, that he said when we begin to witness to people and we begin to let a light shine in this age, Father, that's a worship as well. Father, may we not just worship you when we come into these walls, but Father, may our whole life be a worship. May we serve you, Father, with all that's within us, Father. Help us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Oh, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Oh Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, he's the light of the world. All sing it together tonight. Oh, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Oh Lord, it's dewdrops of mercy are bright. Oh, shine all around us by day and by night. It's Jesus, love.
sing that last verse. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness. Lord, if you'll help my weakness, I know.
To crumble, and though While I live by faith and do His blessing. saints, you can be dismissed. Greet one another as you go. Bright and morning star, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow